This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Turn to Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 22. Amen? And we are in a series for the past 3 weeks, and it's on basically the character of God. How many people want to walk in the character of God in here? Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be more like God. I want to be more like Jesus. Amen. And we know the character of God is actually the fruit of the Spirit. So we are in a series called the Fruit of the Spirit series. Amen. And the fruit of the Spirit is talked about in Galatians. And this is really the God type of character we all need to be walking in. Amen. And I love that, and it goes, it starts off by this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Amen. And against there is no law. Amen. I love that. So, I Jesus, really, you might be asking yourself, what is my calling? And really, your main calling, if you're not a believer, your main calling is to get to know Jesus, number one. But number two is to bear good fruit. Say, I'm called to bear good fruit. And so God's calling each one of us to bear good fruit. In other words, we're supposed to be reflecting God's goodness in our lives. Do you believe that today? In other words, we need to be looking more like God and less like the devil. Amen. We don't want to look like the other guy. We want to look like God. Amen. Amen. Can I get an amen on that? Every once in a while, we can act like the devil. Anybody ever act like the devil in here every once in a while? We can act like the devil, but we don't want to maintain that. We want to act like God. Amen. We want to be Christians. Amen. And we discovered in our series that love is the foundational fruit, and it brings all the rest of the beautiful fruit into our lives. And so the key of love is focusing on God's gift to us, and that gift should inspire us to be givers ourselves. And so really, the golden text of the Bible, how many people know what the golden text of the New Testament is? If you don't know, it's John 3:16. The golden text. You might say, well, it's the golden rule. No, it's the golden text. It's John 3:16. If you're saved, you should know what John 3:16 says. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. So that's the pinnacle scripture that God so loved us, he gave his son Jesus. And Jesus loved us that he laid down his life for us. And you know what the greatest love is for you to lay your life down for your friends. But Jesus went to the next level. He laid his life down for his enemies. That's powerful. That's a powerful thought. That's one thing to lay your life down for your loved ones, but when you lay your life down for your enemies, that's going the next level. Say, I'm going the next level. I love that. And so in John 15:13, Jesus said this way, greater love has no one than this, that to lay down one life for his friends. I love this because Jesus doesn't only consider us as being servants, he considered us as being friends. Somebody say, I'm a friend of God. Amen. And so Jesus called his disciples friends. That's powerful. And so I don't know about you, but I want to be a friend of Jesus. I want to be a friend of Jesus. Amen. And friendship is the most powerful thing that you can walk in. Amen. And so there's no greater blessing than giving. Amen. And I like what it says in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 35. This is Paul writing this. He said, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I'm talking about the fruit of love is always it's connected to our giving. You cannot love without giving. And so when you start living a selfless life and you start giving out of a heart of love, that's when you're going to have more life. It's more blessed. Somebody say it's more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. I like to be on the receiving end at times. Amen. But it's more blessed. Why? Because God can bless you and give you that joy that you're looking for. Last week, we talked about the joy of the Lord. And that's another fruit we need to be walking in. Joy is something that we need to be walking in. It's joy, J-O-Y, Jesus over you. Jesus, or you could say joy, Jesus on you. Amen. Or you could say joy, Jesus others you. Amen. And so joy is something that God wants us walking in. And I'm telling you, if you're feeling weak or tired or you're struggling in your faith walk, you just need the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. See, some of you are not laughing enough. Yeah. You're not laughing enough. You need to start laughing. Yeah. The Bible says that Job, in the book of Job, and Job went through a lot of problems. Anybody ever studied the book of Job? Yeah. He lost his family. He lost his health. He lost his fortune. But the Bible said that Job wrote this. He said, laugh in the face of famine. Amen. You need to be laughing in the... Why? Because this too shall pass. Yes. Amen. Whatever you're dealing with has a time span on it. Yes. And it's subject to change. Yes. How many people believe that? This too shall pass. Whatever you're dealing with, you know, time and grace. Some say time heals all wounds. I would say Jesus heals all wounds. Amen. Amen. Sometimes time doesn't heal all wounds, but Jesus heals all wounds. Amen. And so if you're going to be walking in joy, you're going to have to become grateful. How many people are grateful in here? Amen. You got to be grateful. Amen. You got to be a grateful person. One of the things you can be grateful for is your family. You can be grateful for your spouse if you have a spouse. You can be grateful that you have kids. Amen. You need to be grateful for your friends. Hallelujah. You need to be just thankful and grateful for what you have, because you may not have it, you know, tomorrow. So be thankful and grateful for what you have. Don't take what you have for granted. Amen. Because you may not always have what you have today. Yes. So we don't ever want to take for granted what we have, especially our walk with Jesus. Amen. We don't want to take that for granted. Yes. And so I like what Paul said in Philippians. He said this while he was in jail. Now Paul was in prison. He should have been down and depressed. I mean, if you're in prison, you know, it's not a place to be happy. But he was in prison, and he was writing a letter to the Philippian church. And he was writing a letter, and he got joyful in prison. I'm going to say this. You can get joyful in your prison. You can get joyful in a bad spot. If you start thinking about the good things that God has done for you, the relationships that you have, thank God for those relationships. Amen. And I like that. And then Paul said it in Philippians, that he was writing to the Philippian church. He says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you always, offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. So we see here, this is a key to joy. One of the keys is thinking about your relationships, what people mean to you. And another key is praying for those that mean a lot to you. And when we start praying for our family members, and God starts answering prayers, moving in their lives, that should create joy in our lives, because our prayers are making a difference. Amen. Say, my prayers are making a difference. I love that. And so we need to be rejoicing with, you know, the fact that we have spouses, that we have kids, that we have friends, that we have a church family. We should be rejoicing in that. But we should also be rejoicing in our relationship with the Lord. And it should compel us to be worshipers. Your relationship with God should compel you to worship Him. I have to worship the Lord. I can't go through the day without worshiping and thanking God, because without the Lord, I would be 6 feet under. I don't know if I'd be here today, because God has always protected me. I almost got in 2 car accidents yesterday. And it was just so close. And I was like, God's protecting me, glory to God. Some of you think you're keeping yourselves. Some of you think, well, I'm keeping. No, God's keeping you. Some of you think, I got it all together. You know, you don't have it all together. No, God is keeping you together. If it wasn't for the Lord, you'd be in a funny farm right now. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And so we need to be thankful for the Lord. And I like what it says in Hebrews. It says in Hebrews 13, verse 15, through Him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And when we start doing that, and when you hear that word sacrifice, that means we worship God when we don't feel like doing it. When you're sacrificing praise, it means that, you know, nothing in your life says to give God praise, but you do it anyhow. You push through, and when you push through the flesh, then you move into the spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You might start off in the flesh, but then God will meet you in the spirit. That's why sometimes we come up and we're worshiping the Lord in the morning. And that's why we start off our services in worship, because we're trying to get out of the flesh and get into the Spirit.
Amen.
And when you're in the Spirit, that's where victory is.
Amen.
Victory's always in the Spirit. Defeat's always in the flesh. Amen? So today I want to focus on the fruit of peace. How many people could stand to walk in more peace out here? I don't know about you, but I need more peace. Amen. And we need to realize that really it's the blood of Jesus, the Bible says, that gives us peace. It's the fact that Jesus paid the price for our sins, and that the price has been paid, the price has been met. And because we receive Jesus, we can have a relationship with God the Father, and that we can have peace. In other words, there's no animosity between God the Father and us. So by God, that's God towards us, no animosity. But we don't want to have any animosity from us to God. I'm going somewhere today. In other words, God's not, you know, He's not hating on us, but we don't want to be hating on Him. Amen. Sometimes we get angry with God, and we get upset with God because things aren't flowing the way we think they should be flowing. They're not going the way we think they should be going. And what we don't realize is that God's not fully in charge of this planet. There is a devil out here, and he's coming to steal, kill, and to destroy. And the Apostle Paul said that the devil is the god of this world system. So God's not running this planet. The devil is. Now, God can work in this planet through Christians that are praying and doing good things. And that's how He works in this planet, through us. But the devil is working in this planet, too, to cause a lot of problems. And the Bible says the devil is the god of this world system. So we have to enforce his defeat every day. And we're not going to let the devil draw us into his kingdom. No, we're going to kick the devil out of our kingdom. Or am I getting a witness in the house today? We're not going to let the devil control us, manipulate us, force us into doing anything. No, we tell the devil where to go. He doesn't tell us where to go. Amen. The Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. Amen. You could say it this way: resist depression, and depression has to leave you.
Yes.
Amen. You have to resist the things that the devil is trying to put in your life. So what is peace? Peace is the absence of fear. That's what peace is. It's the absence of fear. You can say, well, what do you mean fear? Worry. Worry is an offspring of fear. So if you're worried, or if you're frustrated, or if you're upset, then that's in the family of fear. Amen. And so peace is the opposite of fear. I love this scripture in Isaiah. And this scripture will help us, because it will help us to stay in peace and remove fear out of our life. I love this because we got to get a revelation that God is for us. No matter what we're going through, no matter what the devil's trying to do in our life, God is for us. You got to believe that. And the devil will try to make you think, God's not for me. You know, no, God's for you. Amen? Amen. He's for your success. He wants to bless you. He wants to bring you to the next level. Amen. Quit focusing on your past and start focusing on your future in God, because it's bright. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? In Isaiah 41, verse 10, it says here, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And I love that. And it says, "Behold, those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contend with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as non-existent thing." So we see here, you know, there, we have enemies. And I'm going to say this, your enemy isn't people. It's not your boss. It's not your spouse. It's not your kids. Your enemy is the devil. The Bible says the devil is the accuser of the brethren. So somebody say, my enemy is the devil. So people aren't your enemy. You got to get a revelation of that. Say, people are not my enemy. It's the devil that's your enemy. If you bind the devil that's working through the people will quit harassing you. That's a good one. If you take authority over those spirits that's working through those people to get you upset, then they will stop harassing you. And if you start walking in love towards them, they might start to become your best friend. Amen? I love that. So we need to walk worry-free in this life. And we do that by walking in faith. Amen? And so I'm going to give you some keys to walking in peace this morning. Because I think the Bible says in the end days, people's hearts will fail. The Bible says fear will be in a lot of people's lives, but that's not us. Somebody say, I'm fearless. In Jesus. You got it. That's the only way you can be fearless is in Jesus. Outside of Jesus, you're a scared person. But inside of Jesus, you're fearless. You're like David that takes out Goliath. David was fearless because he knew his God. He knew that he was a covenant man. And I'm going to say this, you are a covenant people with a covenant God that's watching over you every day of your lives. You believe that today? And I love this because it says here in 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 and 4, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you at the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, and his divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to glory by virtue, by which you have been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Now that's a lot to read this morning. But let me just break this down. He's saying grace and multiplied and peace is multiplied to us at the knowledge of God. Amen. So why do you come to church? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you pray? Because you want to get to know God better. How many people want to get to know God better in here? I remember I went to Bible college. And the reason why some people go to Bible college for different reasons, because they're aspiring to be a minister, you know, to do something great for God. But I went to Bible college just to know God more. Because if I knew that if I could know God more, I'll make less mistakes. If I know God better, my life will get better. If I had a revelation of the greatness of God in my life, if I know God better, then every step that I make will be a God step. Amen. And that I make less mistakes and better decisions. Amen. And so I went to Bible school just to know God more. And in the process of knowing God more, God called me into the ministry. I never wanted a title. When I came back and I was a youth minister, I didn't want a title. I didn't want to be called a pastor. You know, even here as being the pastor, I'm not looking for titles. I'm looking for God's anointing. Amen. I'm looking for God's grace on my life. How many people are seeking the grace of God on your life? It's not just titles that do it. Anybody can get a title, but do you know God? And if you know God, God knows you, and you will be able to influence a generation of people for the goodness of God. Do you believe that today? So we see here that grace and peace is multiplied at the knowledge of God. Amen? I like that bumper sticker. Hey, anybody ever seen that bumper sticker? It says here, it says, N-O, know Jesus. You know, no, it starts off as saying, let me read it here. No Jesus, no peace. So N-O, Jesus, N-O, peace. And then it says, no Jesus, no peace. K-N-O-W, Jesus, K-N-O-W, peace. You know Jesus, you know peace. No Jesus, no peace. I know that's a tongue twister this morning. Amen. In other words, when we get to know God, when we get a revelation and a relationship with Jesus, we will have the peace of God in our life. Amen. And that's what people are seeking. They're seeking the peace of God. And we love that. So we need to get the peace of God in our lives. Amen. And when we do that, our lives get better. When we understand God better, when we get a revelation of who God is, it brings confidence in our life. And when we have confidence in our relationship with God, then our prayers make a difference. Because the Bible says when you have confidence in God and you're praying, you know that He hears you. And when He hears you, you know that you have the petitions that you pray for. Because you're confident. How many confident Christians do I have in the house today? How many Christians know God and getting to know God a little bit better? Amen. Say, I'm getting to know God a little bit better. Amen. And we got to get to know God a little bit better. If we're going to walk in the peace of God, we're going to have to follow what 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says. In 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, it says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting some of your care. That's right. It's all your care, right? Not some of your care. All of your care upon Him. Amen. Can I just have half my cares, Pastor? Can I handle half of them and God can handle the other half. And, you know, I can work with part of my care. No, He said you don't supposed to have any cares. In other words, don't worry. Be happy. You're not supposed to have any cares. I don't even like when people say, take care, Pastor. I don't take any care, thank you very much. You hear that, you know, take care. You know, I'm not taking any care, thank you very much. Amen. I know, I'm being a little legalistic this morning. Amen. I don't do that. I don't jam somebody down the throat when they say, take care, Pastor. You know, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm not taking any cares. So he's saying here, let's go with the Amplified. Can I go with the ladies' translation this morning? The Amplified has more words. Ladies tend to speak more than men, so they call it the ladies' translation. Ladies, don't get upset with me. But you normally have more vocabulary than us guys, amen? Except if you're a preacher. And it says here in 1 Peter 5:7, it says, "Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Set aside self-righteous pride, so that he may exalt you to a place of honor in his service. At the appropriate time, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him. For he cares about you with deepest affection, and he watches over you very carefully." Amen. Think about that. That's everything. In other words, one minister got a revelation of this because he came, you know, he grew up in a family of worriers, not warriors. And so he grew up as a person that worried all the time. And he studied this scripture and he realized that worry is a sin. Amen. That's quiet in this Methodist church today. I thought adultery, lying, cheating is sin. Yes, that's sin too. But worry is a sin too. Why? Because you're not trusting God when you're worrying. You're trusting in yourself. And we're not called to trust in ourselves. We're called to trust in God. Say, "I'm trusting God." So when Peter's saying that you need to humble yourself, what you're saying is that you're giving it to the Lord. That you're giving up your control to God. See, why people don't receive Jesus as Lord and Savior is because they don't want to give up control of their lives. They don't want Jesus as the pilot in their airplane. They want to control their lives. But when you bow your knee to Jesus, you're saying, "Jesus, I'm going to allow you to control my life." In other words, our life is supposed to revolve around Jesus, not Jesus revolving around us. How many people are revolving your life around Jesus? Amen. In other words, you're not supposed to be the center of your world. See, most people and people that don't have Jesus, they're the center of their own world. They're calling all the shots. They're doing whatever they want to do. But when you receive Jesus, you're picking up your cross. You're following him. No turning back. No turning back. You're saying, "Jesus, what do you want to do today? What do you want me to do today? How do you want to order my steps today?" You're following Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Yes. Somebody say, "I'm a follower of Jesus." So when you're humbling yourself in God, you're saying, "God, I'm giving up control and I'm not going to try to control the situation. I'm letting go and letting God." Amen. That's a Pentecostal saying. Let go and let God. Amen? And you got to let go and let God. In other words, the scripture that goes with let go and let God. You ready for this scripture? You ready? Amen? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with some of your heart. Oh, I'm sorry. With all of your heart. That's right. With not some of your heart. Amen. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Amen. In other words, your own understanding can get you in trouble. Your own intellect, your own reasonings. See, we reason things out. Well, it's not reasonable to go to church because I'm tired. You know, it's not me. I was up late last night. No, we reason God out of our lives. This life in Christ, this faith walk, is not a life of reason, it's a life of faith. Amen. And a lot of people are using reason, and reason is another word for ego, and ego is about yourself, and ego stands for edging God out. Can I get a witness in the house today? And we're not going to edge God out. Ego. Amen. And so if we're going to walk worry-free, amen, we gotta do what Jesus talks about in Matthew. In Matthew 6, 25 through 34, he says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you put on. Is not more than food, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow or reap nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than the birds? Amen. In other words, if God's eye is on the sparrow, you heard that song before, right? His eye is on you. If God can feed the birds, he can definitely feed you. Do you believe that today? If God can take care of the birds, he can take care of you, and you're more valuable. I know PETA's going to get on me on this script, what I'm saying there. PETA, you're there for the animals, right? But, you know, people are more valuable than animals. Now, if you're a PETA activist in here, you might be upset with me. Amen? But people are more valuable than animals. And animals are valuable. I'm not downing animals. But what I'm saying is that you're more valuable than the animals that God has made. You're made in a highest class and a highest level in God. So he said that the world seeks food, clothing, and shelter. But what Jesus says in here, he says if you want to be free of trying to seek things, and you want to be free of fear of finances, then you need to go to Matthew 6:33. Because sometimes people worry about money. Not you in here. You guys never worry about money. But some people worry about money. Say, I don't worry about money. Amen. And my wife doesn't either. She spends as much as she wants. She does not worry about money. She likes to spend. But the Lord provides. I'm like, you're spending more money. You know, us guys are always looking at, you're spending money. Amen. And but what does it say in Matthew 6:33? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what will happen? All these things will be added to you. Amen. So seek God, and all these things will be added to you. Don't be fearful about your health. Why? Because Jesus has already done something for your healing. Jesus took stripes on his body for your healing. Amen. So don't get so caught up in what the doctor says. Because the doctors are limited, and the doctors can only go with modern science, but you have a greater doctor. You have the great physician, and that great physician is Jesus. Amen. And no matter what the doctor says, Jesus can do better. Do you believe that today? And number three, don't have fear over your relationships. Glory to God. In other words, if you put God first place in your life, God will make all the other relationships in your life work out. In other words, Jesus has to be your top relationship. Amen. And then when you have total alignment with God, then you will have total alignment with others. But when we get it out of order, that's when we get in trouble. When we put people on pedestals, that's when we get in trouble. Only one person deserves to be on the pedestal of our lives, and that's Jesus. Amen. And we can't put anybody above Jesus. Jesus said, if you love your father, your mother, your brother, your spouse more than him, you're not worthy of his kingdom. Amen. That's pretty strong this morning. In other words, Jesus was looking for total commitment. And when you have total commitment in Jesus, Jesus will give you total commitment himself. Glory to God. Now, I'm going to give you five keys, glory to God, that's going to help you walk in the peace of God. It's in one of my favorite Psalms, Psalms 37. How many people like the Psalms in here? And if you want to know God better, I want to encourage you, read the Psalms. There's 150 Psalms, amen? And you can read five every day if it's a 30-day month, every day, and you'll be able to read through the Psalms every month. I want to encourage you to do that, amen? So you get to know God better, amen? And I love this in Psalms 37, 1 through 11. It says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither like the green herb. The number one key, if we're going to walk in peace, is fret not. I could say sweat not. In other words, don't ever let the devil see you sweat. Don't be fretting. Don't be, fussing and fuming. Amen. Don't allow the devil to get you fretting over people doing wrong things. You can't help what people do, even what people do against you. Don't fret about that. Why? Because God's the great judge. Amen. And people will reap what they sow. Yes. And they will reap it sooner or later. Do you believe that today? So number one, if we're going to walk in the peace of God, we do not want to fret. Number two, it says in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. I love this because if we're going to walk in peace, number one, we don't fret. Number two, we trust in the Lord. Amen. So when you're walking in peace, you're saying, I'm trusting God. And he says here, to trust God, you're dwelling not on how good you are, but you're dwelling on how good He is. Amen. Because it says here, dwell in the land and feed not on how faithful you are, but on how faithful He is. God is faithful. So we trust God and we feed on God's faithfulness. We don't look at how great we are. We look at how great He is when we're and this keeps us walking in the peace of God. Number three, verse 4, it says here, if we're going to walk in the peace of God, we must delight ourselves in the Lord. You know, how many people like ice cream out here? Any ice cream people out here? Any people like ice cream? Amen. I got some hands raised. Amen. Glory to God. I like a good ice cream. Amen. Vanilla ice cream, chocolate, strawberry. Amen. And so, how many people delight in ice cream? How many people really delight in like a banana split? Glory to God. Man, I got some hands being raised here. You really delight in it, don't you? What about God's word? Are you that excited? If it was banana split and the Bible, are you going towards the banana split? Or are you going to read some word? Can I have both, Pastor? Can I have both? Can I have the banana split and the Bible? You can have both. Glory to God. But make sure the Bible is first place. So you want, like you delight in ice cream, you want to delight in the Lord. When you come to church, you shouldn't be like, oh, I got to go to church today. Oh, my Lord Jesus, I hope that pastor has something for me today. I hope it's more than that when you come to church, amen, that you're coming to church to get something and to give something. And so it says here, delight yourself in the Lord. And what happens when you give God your heart? He will give you the desires of your life, amen? He will give you the desires of your heart. So when you give God first place, what happens is your desires becomes God's desires. Amen. And when your desires become God's desires, then He grants you the desires. Amen. Is that right? In other words, can I tell you this? God wants you healthy. Amen. Why? Because Jesus went around, He healed people. God wants you wealthy. And you said, what? Oh, Pastor, now the love of money is the root of all evil. Yes, the love of money, but the love of God isn't. And when you love God, God adds to you. Amen. And He has no sorrow with it. So God's not against wealth. He's against you. He's against you making wealth your God. But when God is God in your life, wealth can be added to you, and you're not going to let that take you away from God. Amen. That's the reason why God won't let some people become millionaires. Why? Because if they became millionaires, they would leave the church, they'd go to Hawaii, and they'd be on the beach with a Mai Tai or something. Amen. And God knows some people He can't trust with wealth. Amen. But He can trust me because I'm going to keep serving Him, because I'm going to keep reading my Bible. I'm going to keep going to church. I'm not going to let wealth take me away from God. No, I'm going to let it add to me so I can be the best that I can be, blessed to be a blessing. Somebody said, God's blessing me to be a blessing. And so number four here, it says here, so if we're going to walk in the peace, we don't want to fret. We want to trust God. We want to delight ourselves in the Lord. And we want to commit our ways to the Lord. Amen. And so we want to commit all that we do to God, and everything that we do, we should commit it to the Lord. Amen. And the Bible says that commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as a light and your justice as a noonday. And then number four, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. So if you're going to walk in the peace of God, you must fret not, trust the Lord, delight yourself in God, commit your way to the Lord, and rest in the Lord. Yes. Amen. In other words, you got to learn to relax in God. Amen. When all the pressures of life come to you, you might want to take a nap. Amen. You might want to just lay down and relax, take a nap. Put some of your favorite worship music on and just listen and worship the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And in verse 11 it says, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in abundance of peace. Think about that. So what is a meek person? A meek person is somebody that's not trying to run their own life. They're putting their life under Jesus, and they're allowing Jesus to run their lives for them. They're meek. They're not taking matters in their own hands. They're giving everything to God and allowing God to work out everything for them. Glory to God. And if we're going to walk in the peace of God, we got to know that God loves us unconditionally. That He loves us no matter what's going on in our lives. That God's working things out. No matter how bad it might look. Somebody say, God's working it out. For my good. Because the Bible says that God works out all things for good to those that love Him and called according to His purposes. So God's working it out. Your back might be against the wall. You might be dealing with some issues and some situations, but trust God and allow Him to work it out. You know, the key, again, to walking in the peace, and I'm closing right now, the key to walking in the peace is letting go and letting God. Trusting God. When Jesus was on the cross, he said seven things when He was on the cross. One of them was, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. That was a powerful saying, what Jesus said. We need to be doing that too. But what He did say on the cross was, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Amen. And he released. You see, Jesus did not fight the cross in His life. Jesus allowed the cross to do the work in His life. See, we're dealing with some cross in our life. We're dealing with some issues and some situations. But allow that cross to do the work in its life, and allow that work to bring us to a place where we're letting go and letting God, and we're releasing every hurt, every pain, everything that has happened to us. We're releasing it to God, and we're saying like Jesus, into your hands I commit my spirit. And Jesus gave up the ghost. And He was in eternity, glory to God. He was in a great place once He released. And we know that God raised Him up and He became the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He's our Lord right now. He's in heaven. I'm going to say this. Don't ever give up on God. Don't give up on yourself. Keep fighting the good fight of faith, because we have a Savior in heaven, Jesus, that's praying in heaven that our faith won't fail. We have a mighty intercessor that's standing with us in heaven. And I'm going to say this, as long as you keep walking in God, keep getting up, Jesus is living on the inside of you. Jesus is a conqueror, and that conqueror is living in you, and that makes you a conqueror. That means you're not a quitter, you're a winner, and you will do all that God has called you to do as you keep walking in Him, letting go and letting God. Did you receive it this morning? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank You for Your mercies and Your goodness and Your love. I thank You, Father God, that we are desiring to give it all to You, to trust You. Perhaps you're here in the audience and there's things you're holding on to. Perhaps you're watching and maybe you haven't let go. You want to control your life. Now is the day to let go and let God. Maybe you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you're listening and watching right now. Well, the Bible says it's easy to receive God as your Father, and that's by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so I want to pray this prayer, help you to pray this prayer with me. And if you're ready to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just say this simple prayer and mean your heart. Say, "Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Heavenly Father, I receive Jesus today as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen."
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.